Family's important to God. Family's important to God. We've got the kids out here in the sanctuary with us this morning. Well, all if you don't mind, if you're shy and you don't want to, it's okay. But if you don't mind, if you're usually in children's church right now, would you stand up? Stand up so we can see all the young people in the house. Praise God. Nurseries are still in full force. I think preschool is still in full force up there, but we've got children's church down here with us because it's important. It's important that they be with their parents during praise and worship. It's important that they are not 12 before they see big church. And so we love for them to come down, and someday we may actually change all that, not while Miss Karen and Miss Marilyn are up there because they'd have my head, but we've got a couple of friends' churches who do children's church on Wednesday night so that on Sunday morning their children are in the sanctuary with them. We had to pray about that and get God's direction. We never done it that way, but I see the purpose. Because what if a young man never sees his dad worship? What if a young woman never witnesses her family in the sanctuary? So it's important. Family's important. And we're glad to have the kids out here with us. If they're loud, if they're playing under the pew, it's okay. They're here, and what we've learned through the years is if they're out front, well, you probably know this from your house, they hear things you don't think they're listening to. So if that's true at your house, it's true in God's house. And just them being out here with you is a blessing, and it makes our day. God's for family. He is for family. From the very beginning of mankind, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, we see right away that God made it plain, family was his plan. It's the first mandate. It's the first words that he spoke to this man and woman that were standing before him. It's the very first words he said in Genesis 1, verse 26. He said, God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, the deer, over all earth and all the creeping things that creep on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female created he them. Then God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. God said that. Charlie Kirk didn't make that up when he said, get married, have children, and go to church. This was God's plan. He was just repeating God's plan. And family's important. And we can see it in Genesis 2. God looked at Adam and he said, it's not good that man should be alone. And that wasn't a downer on man. This is mankind, including man, the gender man. It's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper comparable to him. Immediately, I mean, it was always in the plan of God. He just states it so we understand it's not good for man to be alone. And you may be sitting there today, and you may have pain in your heart because you're alone. I got news, good news. God does not depend on human flesh to satisfy you. He made a way that even if you are what the world would call alone, divorced, widowed, never married, never had children, he didn't mean for life to be lacking family because of your circumstance and situation. I love what Zach said, and Zach didn't know what I was ministering this morning. I'm looking for him. He's disappeared. He's helping some. Oh, he's in the sound booth. He's everywhere. When Zach was up here talking, I was like, he's preaching the message. You know, because it is family. In my family's worst situations, whether it was me before I married Rusty or when Wade was killed or even the joys, my grandchildren being born, who was it that checked on us? Who was it that fed us? Who was it that prayed for us? Who was it that showed up even in my children's lives? Mary, how you prayed over my children. That happened here. It happened here. And so if you're missing out on the family of God, you need to find a way. It's not going to happen sitting at home in four walls by yourself. Amen. It's going to take a step of faith for you to come and be a part. And I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about in friendships, in relationships. Kim? Can I?
Yes.
Okay. Because you don't want to say no in front of the family, right? Kim used to sit here. I thought she was so quiet. She's not. She's hilarious. One day, she started helping in the kitchen at church. And we'll never be the same. We will never be the same. Sometimes when you see the, hey, we need help setting up for Fall Family Day, someday you've got to take a step and enter into the, participate in the family. You can be a member of a family and not participate in the family. I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about meeting each other with your children at the park. I'm talking about, I'm going to make up for my past sins. Going to Natural State Coffee and drinking a cup of coffee together. If y'all were here the other service, you know why I'm having to repent. Hey, I'm going to get a cup of coffee. I ought to call, ought to text so-and-so and see. Participating in the family, why? Because family is important to God. Because you're important to God. You're important to God. Now, just because God created family doesn't mean families are perfect. Whether that's in the walls of your house or in the church. In fact, the first family that was ever on the earth didn't get through one generation without a problem. The second generation ended up in murder. So, you know, Adam and Eve chose to do things different than God's plan for family. But even though families aren't perfect, they're still important to God. And if your family's not perfect, He's still for family. Yeah. His Word has something to say. His Holy Spirit has a way to guide you, to direct you. He wants to hear your prayers for your family. That gives Him an invitation to act in your family. And He wants to help us live the family life that He designed. And y'all, I'm not going to be long today because these kids know there's bump and jumps in the parking lot. And they are important to God. And the kids, not the bump and jumps. So we're going to get straight to some points. And John's out there grilling hot dogs as fast as he can. If you didn't bring anything today, we have plenty of food. Amen? Amen. We're a family. We'll share. Okay. To the families in the house today, prioritize family time. I know this sounds simple, but it's a lot harder to implement when you're a veterinarian. When you've got dogs, cats, people calling, save Buffy, save, you know, no vets are open. That's probably because they're having dinner with their kids. You know, it's hard. It's hard when your kids are in sports. Sports are not all family time because with the kids out there and it's important and you can make it family, but you've got to prioritize to make it family. And if you're young and in the house, I'm going to say this. Hi, Christian. It's good to have you back. It's plan your career to live the life that you want to live. And that needs to be family. That needs to be family. You can, if you're young, you're not already, you know, committed to a house and all those things. Commit to a life that will let you prioritize family. It's better wisdom than y'all are acting. It's important. When I took this calling, this office of pastor, one thing that God promised me is that He would still allow me the time for what is most important to me. Obviously, He's number one. But God is for your family. And so Vic Porter called me, had a word from the Lord for me, and that word was that. If you will hold this office, I will make sure. And that's why when you come by here, you will probably see my office look like a nursery. Because my kids can come. My grandchildren can come. And they can play in the gym, and they can be here throughout the week. They can come and go. I can't tell you how many times I walk past John's office, and the door is closed, and John's not in there because Ida's in there taking a nap. Prioritize family time and make it quality time. Quality time. Quality time as much as possible, quality and quantity. But sometimes there's not quantity, so there has to be more quality. Moms and dads, if you're both working, this takes effort. This takes planning. You're investing your time. You're not spending your time with your kids. You're investing your time in your children. And one of the best words of advice, my dad, I have this, and I'll find it at some point and have Kevin clip it out for me. It was on a documentary that the attorneys were making about our son. And the attorney interviewed my dad. And my dad's wisdom to him, which he is now living, the attorney is now living, by the way, this principle. He said, if you will make time for your kids, they will always make time for you. And we have lived that. We've lived that. Raise your families knowing God in a good way. Not just knowing God. Not just knowing about God. But raise your families knowing God in a good way. Dads, you're up. When you carry the name Father, Ricky, when you carry the name Father, and then they come to church and they hear about Father God, they immediately make a connection between the two. So baby Ricky, do you still call him baby? Because he's not a baby anymore. You don't call him that. Mama calls him that. Don't just make sure they know about God, but make sure they know about God in a good way. The parents set the tone for how the children see God. And divine intervention can change that. We got a lot of people sitting in this room who had to have a change of mind about what Father means, about what God means. Because you don't look at your children and say, God will see you do that. You don't use those threatening words when talking about the Father God, who gave his only son to die on a cross for them, who would not withhold any good thing from them. We've got to make sure that our kids know God in a good way, and that is by you being a good parent to the best of our ability. And when we mess up, you know what? It's all right to apologize to our children. I got one oh me and no amens on that, but raise your families knowing God in a good way. Surround your life with people of like and precious faith. Surround yourself with people of like and precious faith. This is something, it's not just about who your kids' friends are. It's also about who your friends are. This is something I value that our children do, is they make sure that not just their kids are directed towards good friendships, but that they themselves have good friendships because their friends are around, your friends are around your children. That's important. I love Chelsea's relationship with Tanya. I value that her children call Tanya Bear. Because she looks mean, but she's really a bear, like a teddy bear. I love that Tanya's children call me Granny Sue, and we're of no blood relation. You know why? because we made sure that our friends represented the life that we wanted our children to live. Oh, those are my friends. There is no separation between you and your children. That one was a little harder. Y'all took that one a little harder. Don't let the world raise your children. Don't let the world raise your children. Please don't let the world raise your children. Deuteronomy 4:9, he says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. This is generational. This is generational. What we teach our children is generational. What you're showing your children can be, without divine intervention, generational. We want that to be a blessing being passed down of the way of living and not a curse being passed down as a way of living. You know, my kids had to correct some things that I did wrong in my life. That's painful. But praise God, they can through the Word. Praise God, they can. Your children can overcome your mistakes, but you need to support them to do so. You need to be behind them to do so. It's okay to go to your children and say, I failed in this regard. I failed you in this regard. Follow me as I follow Christ. Right? Follow me as I follow Christ. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but teach them what you've learned. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Get a picture of something being impressed. Something being impressed onto your children. It marks them. And you know what, kids? If your parents are the worst parents in the world, you don't have to be. You don't have to be. Forgive your parents. I'm not talking about putting yourself in the line of abuse, but forgive your parents, and that will help you get a long ways down the road. I've watched people be so different from the way they were raised because they made up their minds they were not going to repeat the offenses of their parents. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Well, we're not going to raise our children in church because we don't want to brainwash them. By George, brainwash them. Wash their brain. Isn't that the whole purpose of the word, is to wash the brain? Because if you do not impress the ways of God upon your children, the world is going to stamp them for sure. And they're going to be so confused and so miserable. Suicide is rampant. Because children have no guidance into what life is supposed to look like. We've got a relative that forbid their child to be brought to church. Forbid it. It was horrible when they would come to visit and they were forbidden to go to Chick-fil-A. They were forbidden to go to Hobby Lobby. They were forbidden to do anything Christian. That child now, unless there was divine intervention in the last moments of his life, is spending his eternity in hell because he killed himself. Wow. Wow. I'm not saying you go to hell if you kill yourself. I'm saying he was never allowed to witness the goodness of God.
That's right. That's right.
That pains me. Impress them on your children. Listen to this. How do you impress them on your children? He gives you instruction right here. Verse 7. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. You know what he's saying? Every chance you get to impress into your children. I'm not talking about reading to them out of the King James Version. I'm talking about talking to them about the things of God and the ways of life, the plan for family that God has for family. Talk openly about it. Talk about it so that they know, so that you never have to look back and say, I never told them. There's so many things I wish I would have impressed on my children that now I make sure I impress on my grandchildren. Talk about them when you sit. Talk about them when you're up. Talk about them when you lie down. Talk about them when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. You know what he's saying? Keep it in front of you. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, my mother took this literally when I was growing up. We had sticky notes. Well, we didn't have sticky notes back then. Everything was taped to light switches and mirrors. And she made sure that we saw it coming in and we saw it going out. That's not a bad principle, ladies and gentlemen. He's saying keep it in front of them. It's not too late to change. As my dad would say, don't jerk the wheel, but my goodness, get this thing turned in the right direction. Start talking about family, about life, about friendships. Start talking about those things. And for those of you who may feel alone, you don't have to be alone. Because if you don't have a home and you don't have people in your four walls, why do you think God designed the church? Why do you think he said as the last days approach for us to assemble ourselves more and more? And that doesn't, it means in the church walls, but it also means in life. Assemble yourselves more and more together with people of like and precious faith, because he doesn't want us to feel alone. He did not make us to be alone. And it may take a step of your faith to come to church. It may take a step of your faith to call somebody. It may take a step of your faith to sign up on a volunteer sheet. It may take a step of your faith to talk to somebody out there at the picnic while they're eating their hot dog. Hey, if their mouth's full, just, you've got a captured audience. You know, anything you want to say, there's your opportunity right there. 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. That's how the NIV. That is what we are. We're the children of God. And get this. He calls the body of Christ the household of faith. Because he's the Father and he's got children. If you want evidence of that, it's in Ephesians 2. We'll read it. Verse 19 says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You can also go to Galatians 6 and read about the household of faith. You can go to 1 Timothy 3 and read about the house of God. Why? Because he wants us to know how to behave in the house of God, which is what that one's about, so that we would be able to stay family even when we're not so happy with each other. See, when I get aggravated with mom, which is, well, I'll just put it the other way. When mom gets aggravated with me, which is probably fairly often, because I kind of have my daddy's personality. Amen. It's a good thing some days. When she gets aggravated with me, she doesn't stop being my mother. I don't stop being her daughter. Because family is more than friendship. This, what Zach was talking about, is more than friendship. It's devotion. I'm devoted to you. You are devoted to me. We are devoted to each other. Man, the 11 years of grief and lawsuit and stuff where I know I was a bear a lot of days. I just want to say thank y'all for being devoted to me. Amen. Thank y'all. Through life's heartaches and life's greatest joys, y'all have been here when we dedicated my babies up here on this platform that now have babies. Y'all are more than friends. A lot of churches throw around this is we're not just a church, we're family. We mean it. Amen. And what God's saying to you this morning is you can be a part of the family, but participate. You know, if it's game night at home and one kid doesn't play and they sit there and just watch the rest of you, they're still family, but they're not participating. Participate in the family. Family's important to God. Why? Why would God design family? This open class, y'all can talk. Susan's saying something I'm trying to hear. Foundation. That is such a good word. Foundation is secure. It's a safe place. The earth can shake, but if family is foundation, it's a place you can come home to. It's always there. It's always steady. It's strong. It's, man, that's a good word, Susan. Safety. There should be safety in family. There should be protection in family. You know, if you were out there on the plains and there was a lion, you can hear the lion's roar. You know he's there. You know he's present. You know who he's looking for? The one that's outside the herd. He designed family. He put mother, father, children in a house together for the safety, for the welfare, for the provision, for the protection, for the love, for the joy, for the growing, for the maturing, for the nurturing, for the learning of everybody in that household. And that's why he put you here. And we can get mad at each other. We can get frustrated with each other. But don't stop participating in the family. I don't leave my mother because she's frustrated with me or I'm frustrated with her. We bear it out. We bear it out. Why? Devotion. Devotion's better than friendship. I've left some friends behind because we weren't traveling the same road. But devotion to those of like and precious faith is, it's important. So I want you to think about why family is important to God and make it why it's important to you. Because if it's important to God, it's important to me. And it's important to you. And we'll do a family series before long. But I want to encourage you, if you've not been perfect, which everybody here in this room could raise a hand, as a parent, let's just start turning this thing. Let's spend our time learning about the role of and the how to parent from the scripture. Husband, wives, children. Children, yours is pretty apparent. I mean, it's pretty important. It's pretty plain. Honor your father and your mother. Honor them. It doesn't mean you like what they're doing all the time. But all God asks is that you honor them. Honor them. Don't disrespect them. Don't disrespect them. He asks us to be obedient to our parents. If what they're asking you to do is legal and ethical and not against the law, then you do what your parents say. That's what God's word says. And then God has instructions for us as parents, women. We're supposed to teach each other how to love our husbands and how to love our children. Because not everybody knows. I learn from you. You learn from me. Husbands, dads, you're supposed to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Amen. And gave himself for it. You're supposed to be giving yourself for your wife. And you're supposed to raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you're not supposed to frustrate your children to the point of breaking their spirit. Oh, God's got a lot to say about the family. This is not a discouraging message. This is an encouraging message. God is for family. Family is important to God. And we're going to go out there and I want you to watch your children play. I want you to do stuff with your kids. Sit down and spend time with them. Yes, you can take a break and go beat somebody in cornhole, but let your children feel prioritized. Do my children feel prioritized? It's a great question. I'll let you answer it another day.